So we're holding on Ayin Beis from the days beginning the seventh Perek. The Shnayas was the sixth Perek, because like we talked about the previous Perek about the Omer, is placed as the tenth Perek in the Shnayas. Okay, so we're continuing now that we dealt with the Korban Omer, then we're going to continue with the Dinim of Menachos in general. One thing we're going to have, one feature that we're going to have over the next 20 or so blocks, the next four Perekim, is we have two different versions of Rashi. We have the Pirush that's printed in Rashi's regular place, and then we have below it something called Rashi Sabyad. Rashi Sabyad was written by comes from a Sabyad of the Shitim Kubetis, Rebbe Tzal Ashkenazi. He says this is the original, this is the actual Pirush Rashi to these Perekim. Then what we have printed in Rashi's regular place is what was printed in the first couple of editions of Shas. It comes out, apparently it was not written by Rashi. Some say it was written by Rabbeinu Yochim, who was a chaver of Rashi. Others say it was written by Rabbeinu Gershom, and we have Rabbeinu Gershom's Pirush printed by the side of the Gemara, so then this would be a variation of that. But whatever the case, so we have Rashi, and we have Rashi Ksav Yad for the next 20-odd block. So the Mishnah starts off. V'eidu menachos nikmatzis. The following menachos, you take a koimetz from them, ushiyorehem l'koyanim, and the remainder of the mincha is then eaten by the koyanim. As opposed to, we're going to learn in following Mishnayos that you have other menachos where no koimetz is taken, the whole thing is burnt on the mizbeach. So, first of all, you have the five that a person can bring voluntarily. Minchas asolos v'hamachlas v'hamapreshes v'achalos v'arikikin. A person brings a raw flour mincha. Now Rashi and Rashi Ksav Yad both have an interesting expression over here. They say Hoisa Mikmetis Isa, the koimetz was taken when it was dough. So there's quite a bit of discussion what that means exactly. I mean, here we're saying it's a mincha of flour and oil. So one opinion is, we learned about this earlier in the Masechta, that in fact it wasn't, even though it's supposed to be just flour and oil, in practice they would actually mix it with water first. And make sure it doesn't become chametz, of course, because otherwise, practically speaking, you have an isora and a flour, and you have a lug of oil. In terms of egg volumes, a lug is six eggs, an isora is 43.2, so you really wouldn't have enough oil to thoroughly mix with the flour, and you're going to end up with quite a lot of flour is going to remain dry. So there are explanations that it means that they would in fact mix it with water, and it just means when they were saying over here that they would take the koimetz from it as dough, it just means in other words they wouldn't bake it yet, unlike the other ones which are fried or baked. Different explanation of it is that in fact we're going to learn later in the parak that you're supposed to take the koimetz mimakam shina sraba shamna from the place that has the most oil, meaning inevitably you mix the flour with oil, you don't mix it exactly thoroughly. Sometimes you have some places where there's more oil than others, and you're supposed to take the koimetz from there. Very well, then that would be what Rashi and Rashi Ksav Yad are calling Isa. Okay, in any case, those five, so soilus, machvas, and marcheches, we learned earlier, a machvas is a shallow pan, or even a flat pan, a griddle, a marcheches is a deep pan. We talked about the difference between the menachos made in those, bachalos for the kicking, and chalos and wafers. Rashi actually later on in the parak just says that the difference is that the chalos, the flour is blended with oil before it's baked, and the kicking are smeared with oil afterwards. We're going to have later in the parak. There are other Rishonim learn that chalos are thick and rikikin are thin. Okay, so those five, a person can bring the neder and the dover. So those five then, if those five then, you take the koimetz from them, burn it on the mizbeach, and the rest is eaten by the koyim. Next, continues the Mishnah. Minchas obje gechavim and minchas noshim. Also menachas that are brought by goyim, which we're going to be discussing in some detail in the Gemara about whether goyim even can bring a mincha, but our Mishnah obviously is following the opinion that they can't. Or minchas noshim, or a mincha brought by a woman. So any of these types of mincha that we're describing so far, that was brought by a goy or by a woman. So we still need, as we're going to have in the Gemara, a rivui, to say that nevertheless, on the case of goyim, we're going to have a special limud from it in the Gemara that goyim can in fact bring a mincha according to this opinion, and that if they do, then a koimetz is taken from it, and it's not just completely burnt on the mizbeach. And as far as women, once we're mentioning the fact is that elsewhere it talks about that, for example, if a man and woman both bring a mincha, then the man's goes ahead of the woman because the man has more mitzvahs. So therefore, we mention the woman's mincha also. We have this a few times already in previous parakim as well. Or Minchas HaOmer, the Minchas HaOmer as well, has a koimetz taken from it, and the koyim eat the rest. Or Minchas Choite, and Minchas Choite, the mincha that a person brings for a korban or the yored, as discussed in last week's parasha. Or Minchas Knois, and the mincha brought by a soite. So all of those, then you take a koimetz from them and burn it on the mizbeach, and the rest of it is eaten, and the rest of it is eaten by the koyanim. Now Rashi Ksavyab points out the first five that we mentioned. It says clearly in the pasuk, it says that you take a koimetz, or it says that you take azkara, which is another word for the koimetz. As far as some of the other ones, either we learn from a Zera Shava, or we learn from the fact that it says by them Knitza as well. And the Shittu Bukubetis points out you do have one where the Torah says that you can bring a mincha that's baked in an oven, minchas mafei tanur, and there it doesn't say the word knitza or the word askara. So ultimately that was the Gemara is going to tell us. It says those Torah mincha, which means that the same rules apply to all menachas unless otherwise specified. Now, Reb Shimon said, now we have like this. We've talked about before, and we're going to talk about later on, that a mincha of a kutz, in this week's parish actually, that a mincha of a koyin is completely burnt on the mizbeach. The pasuk says in our parish, b'chol minchas koyin, kolol tia, lo se'och. So now, Reb Shimon says, a regular mincha of a koyin in the no knitza would be taken and the whole thing would be burnt. What about minchas chotesh or koyin in? What about the mincha that a koyin brings for a korban oil of a yored? Says Reb Shimon, nikmetes, you do in fact take a kmitza from it. The koimetz part of ma'atzmi, the shirayim klevim ma'atzman, the koimetz is offered separately on the mizbeach, and the shirayim are offered separately, meaning in other words, even though it's a mincha of a koyin and it's not eaten, nevertheless Reb Shimon holds that the koimetz has to be taken from it, as we will learn in the Gemara tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, why Reb Shimon says that. So the Tanakhama would just say, you just burn the whole thing intact. And Reb Shimon is saying you do take a koimetz from it. The Shittu Kabbetis actually explains that Reb Shimon would hold that even, that not only they're brought separately, the koimetz and the shirayim, but the Shittu Kabbetis learns that the shirayim are not even brought on the fire per se, but just on the pile of ashes in the middle of the mizbeach, tapuach, where there would be hot ashes as well, and he holds that the shirayim are burnt over there rather than being burnt on the regular fire of the mizbeach. Pashtus, maybe he says that because we've learned again earlier in the Masechta that anything where the shirayim are supposed to be offered separately, then you can't burn anything where part of it is supposed to be burnt on the mizbeach. You're not allowed to burn any other part of it on the mizbeach. So maybe then the idea would be if you burn it on the main fire of the mizbeach, then you'd be over on that, and therefore you have to burn it on the tapuach, on that pile of ashes. But we'll learn more about that tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem. Bottom line, give all the days and $9 a month. So the Gemara starts off, Omer HaPapa, and we've learned the statement of the Papa a couple of times, Kol Heka Ditznan, Eser Tznan. Whenever we learn this list in the Mishnah, we always have 10. So we'll explain in a second. We've learned about a couple of times before, in previous Perakim, two explanations that Rashi gives what that means. So the most is my Kamash Malon. What is your Papa telling us by that? And the answer is La Puki Mid Reb Shimon. He wants to take La Puki Mid Reb Shimon. He wants to tell us not like Reb Shimon, the Omar, where Reb Shimon says, if a person wants to bring a baked mincha, the Chachamim say it has to be either all, as we're going to say, it has to be made out of 10 chalas, either all of them have to be chalas or all of them have to be rikikin. He can't mix and match. Whereas Reb Shimon holds it could be half of one, half of the other, so therefore the Mishnah is telling us that not. So we had two explanations of that Rashi had given in earlier Pesachim, of what Rapapa means. One is that it means that the Mishnah is giving us a list of 10 things, and the point is, according to Reb Shimon, given that you would have a baked mincha could consist of, according to Reb Shimon, either all chalas or a kikin, or some of one and some of the other, then it would come out, according to Reb Shimon, you have 11 possibilities. So Rapapa is telling us that each time the Mishnah is listing only 10 to imply that it doesn't agree with Reb Shimon, and therefore there really only are 10 types. The other explanation, Rashi had said, is it means that each of these types of menachas comes as 10, is baked or fried or whatever into 10 chalas, into 10 smaller chalas. And the point is, according to Reb Shimon, according to him, either you would have to have 10 chalas or 10 rikikin or 5 of one and 5 of the other. And therefore, the Papa is telling us that the Mishnah is saying not like that. And if whichever one of the ones that are listed in the Mishnah, it always has to be 10 of them. We said in the Mishnah of Shirei and Lakoyanim, we said that the leftovers of all these menachas after the koyimitz is burned on the mizbeach, the shirayim are eaten by the koyanim. So the Gemara asks the Nolan, where do we know that from? Now, the Gemara answers right back, goes about, adds in another word, Menolon, over here. Meaning that the Gemara is asking rhetorically, you're asking Menolon? What do you mean, Menolon? Where do we know it from? Whichever ones it says explicitly by them, that the Kohenim eat the Shirayim, then it says, the Udloi Ksiva, and the ones that it doesn't say, Ksiva, but after all, the Torah tells us, in our parasha, Vizos Torah, Samincha Hakri Vosa B'nei Aaron, the grammar. This is the Torah of the Mincha, the sons of Aaron should offer it, and then the Pasuk continues, the next Pasuk, Vane Seref Men, or Yechel Aaron of one of, that the rest of it, then Aaron and his sons should eat. So we said, Torah Achas means that the same rules apply to all menachas. So in other words, the question is, what do you mean menolon? Where do we need a source for it? Mefarshim explain that if the Gemara had asked menohani mili, that's not such a question. Menohani mili is a type of question that you ask when you say, we don't know, we're not aware of what pasuk we're getting this from, and therefore we need to know. This is Chidosh from Amir Fasim La'arach that explains. But then fine, the answer would be that he was a hero of the pasuk. But the word menolon actually means when we don't have a clear drosha for it, so we're trying to find, we have to go and figure out how we're going to learn it from one of the Yudim Midas, Shatur and Adreshus Behem or something like that, and therefore the Gemara is rhetorically asking, what do you mean menolon? It's very clear in the psukim, by some of the menachas and by the other ones, you have an obvious hekish from Vizuris to Rasamincha, so therefore you don't need to ask menolon. So the Gemara answers, you're right. So the answer is like this. Fine, but the answer is when a mincha is brought from wheat, and after all, the context of the pasuk describes that a person brings a mincha, and a person brings a voluntary mincha, and a voluntary mincha is always made out of wheat, as we've learned already. The only minchas that are ever made out of barley is the omer, which is a public korban, and it's required, and the mincha sota, which is also required. So in other words, sam mincha comes from wheat. Rashi Ksavyad points out, and therefore, and after all, the pasuk is saying zos tera sam mincha. So then, therefore, that would mean it applies only to wheat. Tosfos says that. Tosfos says no, a different answer. The fact is, barley is animal food, and therefore we wouldn't be so obvious that the pasuk is telling us that the kohenim should eat it. Maybe we'd say the kohenim are told to eat the shiori menachas when they're made out of wheat, which is a respectable food eaten by people. But barley, which is mainly eaten by animals, maybe the Torah is not saying that the kohenim should eat it. So how do we know that they do? So that's the question. Can you come by one boss to Odin? So the question would be when a mincha comes out of barley, the omer and the omer and the mincha sota. How do we know that then also the koyanim eat the shirayim? So that would be the question, menolon, where do we know that from? Because that's not going to be so obvious. Well, the Gemara says, bar sota nami. Okay, so if it comes made out of barley, so what? Midin ekmetzes jorei al koyanim. Since a kmitza is taken and burnt on the mizbeach, automatically, then the rest must be eaten by the koyanim, because that's what the pasuk says. You take the koyanim, you burn it on the mizbeach, and the koyanim eat the rest. Rashi and Rashi Ksavya both point out, look, I mean, if you're taking a koyanim, by definition, then what are you going to do with the shirayim? Obviously, the koyanim eat it. So therefore, you still have to wonder then why. Why is the Gemara asking Menolon? So the answer is fine. I'll live a bit up bottom, let come a boil on. Fine. If you ask the point of the Chachamim of on Mishnah, then you're right. There's no question because the Chachamim are saying that always you take the koymets and then you eat the shirayim. And those two go together. Whenever you take the koymets, then the shirayim are going to be eaten. But come a boil on, I'll live a bit of Shimon. But the question we have is pointed of Shimon. The Omar, where he says in our Mishnah, Ikam Mincha de Mikam Sivala Misaisla. He says there's a Mincha where Koimitz is taken, but the Shirayim aren't eaten. The Tanan, as we said in our Mishnah, Rav Shimon, the Mincha Sfoita Chokoinim Nekmetzis, you do take a Koimitz from the Mincha of Koinim, that Koimitz Tore Ba'atzman, that Shirayim Kreven Ba'atzman, and the Koimitz is offered by itself, and the Shirayim are offered by themselves, whether being offered on the fire, whether like Shittim Kvetzis says offered on the hot ashes on the Tapuach, whatever the case, the point is, Rav Shimon is saying that in that case, even though a Koimitz is taken, the shirayim are not eaten, as we will learn tomorrow. Best the Shem why Reb Shimon says that. So now the question would be: appointed Reb Shimon, we see that there's not that we see that kmitza and eating the shirayim are not necessarily tied together. And given that the Torah mentioned the kohenim eating the shirayim only by a wheat mincha, how do we know that it also applies to a barley mincha? So, the Gemara answers, Omar Chizkiyah. So Chizkiyah answers, therefore, we do really have the question, Menolon, so where, after all, do we know it from? So, Omar Chizkiyah, because the pasuk says in our parasha, the pasuk says any mincha that is mixed with oil or that is dry, so dry would be mincha sota or mincha schoita, which are where no oil is mixed with it. We talked about earlier in the Masechta that maybe that, and then we talked about just now that maybe they can be mixed with water. That's not considered a lack of chareva, but in any case, they can't be mixed with oil. And we learned extensively back in the fifth parak about the issue of putting oil in them and the malchus that would be involved and the fact that it makes a mincha pasul and so on and so forth. So now the pasuk says any mincha mixed with oil or any dry mincha l'chol bnei Aaron tia. It goes to all the sons of Aaron, to all the Kohanim. So Chizkiyah says, "In any inin blula shochitin." Now, when it says blula vashemen, it doesn't need to tell us about a mincha of wheat flour that's mixed with oil, because it already says that earlier in the parasha. So therefore, tneu inin blula shosaurim. Therefore, apply that to a mixed mincha made out of barley. Namely, from that we learn that the shirayim of the omer are going to be eaten. Shirayim, the omer, is the only korban where which is brought out of barley flour, but which is mixed with oil. So therefore, so the pasuk says, it means that, and it says that it goes to the sons of Aaron, that the Kohenim can eat it, then that refers to the Omer. And similarly, when we're talking about when the Pasuk says the dry one, and it doesn't have to mean the dry mincha of wheat flour, because again, that already, the Pasuk already said earlier, that the Kohenim eat the Shirayim of it. Which again, the Zos Teres HaMincha refers to all menachas of wheat. So Tosfos points out, fine, the context of the pasuk is when it says the Zos Teres HaMincha, it's talking about ones that include oil, but nevertheless, it can also include ones that are dry as well. Because fine, it is talking about ones made out of wheat, but we wouldn't otherwise know barley. So Chizkiyah says Tneu Inyan L'Chareva Shosa Odin. Well, then apply it to the ones that are dry, that are made out of barley. So there you go then. So whether it's made out of wheat or barley, we have a limud that the Kohenim do eat the shirayim of it. We have the one exception where Shimon says for the minchas chote of Kohenim, but other than that, the general rule is anytime there's a koimetz, then the shirayim are eaten by the Kohenim. This is how we live that. But the Gemara asks the halachah yudasa, are you telling me that this is where Chizkiyah learns it from? Don't we need that pasuk that Chizkiyah is learning from, v'chol mincha b'lul of Hashem and v'chareva, l'chol b'nei Aaron tia, we need that pasuk to teach us a different din that we're going to have in a b'raisa. So now we're going to have a long b'raisa that's going to go till the middle of the next Amud, and then once we finish with it, then we're going to see that this pasuk, v'chol mincha b'lul of Hashem, is being used for a different drush. So like this, the Brisa says, Minayim shein chokim menachas keneged zvachim. How do we know that the Kohenim are not allowed to divide? Now, we have the Kohenim divide up the korbanos that come in. You have most korbanos, there are parts that are eaten by the Kohenim. Some of them, almost all of the korban, like the chafas and the asham. Others of them, only parts of them, like the shlonim. And then you have, of course, by the mincha, where the shirayim are eaten by the Kohenim as well. So, Minayim shein chokim menachas keneged zvachim. How do we know that they can't divide and trade menachas corresponding to korbanos? In other words, that one kohen is going to say to another, let's make a deal, and any korbanos that are brought today, you'll get the animal korbanos, and I'll get the menachas, or vice versa. How do we know you can't do that? Now, many mefoshim learn that means you can't do it, period, because it would be a bizoyan to kodshim, because it would be treating them, disrespectfully, like, I can't be bothered to eat from this korban, you can have it, or because it doesn't truly belong to them, because it's really only, as the Gemara elsewhere expresses it, kohenim b'shochan gaboya chazachu, the kohenim are just being zoicha in a part from Hashem's table, and it doesn't really belong to them to the extent to be able to make deals about that. With that said, though, the Shasemah says that maybe they could. It means that if they both voluntarily agree, then you're allowed to. It just means that the whole brisa, when it's going to go through the various possibilities, is just going to mean that they can't force one another to. He does finish us off, tzorach iyun l'dina. The fact is, as far as the actual din, tzorach iyun, whether in fact that would be correct. Anyway, so how do we know that they can't do menachas, trading menachas for zvachin? According to the Sfas Emes, only that one of them maybe can't force the other one to, and according to everybody else, that regardless, they can't do that because they don't own them and be a bazillion. So how do we know that? Talmud Lomar. Therefore, the pasuk says, "V'chol ha'mincha asher ta'ofa batanu." The pasuk says, we're quoting today many, many psukim from this week's parasha very appropriately. So the pasuk says, "Any mincha that's baked in an oven," and the pasuk continues, "Anything that's made on a machva, on a macheshes, or a machmas, v'chol b'nei Aaron tia ish ka'achid." It goes to all the sons of Aaron, each one like each man like his brother. So the ish ka'achid, actually, we're going to learn later on the Omud, there's a different drasha for it, but the point is, in other words, it goes to all the sons of Aaron. It means actually all the Kohanim who are in the base of that's serving that day in the Bais Mikdash. Continues the Braisa. Yochol lo yachlifu menachas keneged zvachim. Now you would think, fine. So the Torah is telling us that you can't trade menachas for zvachim. And the logic is shaloi komo tachtein bedalos, because we don't find that a mincha substitutes for a korban when a person is poor. Namely, when it comes to a korban or the b'yorin. You have the rich person brings an animal, and the next poorer person brings booths instead, like we have in last week's parasha. So that person does bring a mincha, only if he's dale dalos, the poorest of the poor, which is two stages away. Aval yachlifu menachas keneged oifus. You could argue though that maybe they could trade menachas for birds. If somebody brings a bird chatas and the kohenim eat that, maybe one kohen can trade another one and say, you'll eat the bird and I'll eat the mincha, or the other way around. But try to komu tachtein bedalos, because after all, a mincha substitutes for birds when a person is poor. Where again, it's only one level apart. A person who's medium poor brings two birds, a chatas and an ola, and a person who's really poor brings a mincha in a case like that. So how do we know that? Not Talmud Lomar, v'chol nasa v'marcheshes, v'chol b'nei Aaron tia. The pasuk continues that any mincha that's made in a marcheshes goes equally to all the sons of Aaron. So we see, in other words, that the same rules apply to menachas as well. You can't trade them. The one that's brought by a choita is not a minchas marcheshes, to be sure. It's a dry mincha with only flour, as we said, no oil on the voina, but nevertheless, the fact that the pasuk says that any mincha cannot be traded implies that it means even for example a mincha schoite. Yochol lo yachlifu menachas keneged oifus. So fine, you would say then that fine, you can say the Torah doesn't allow you to trade menachas for birds. And the logic is, not just because the pasuk says so, but you can find a logic in it. Shalom mine dam and valol mine kmachim. Because after all, they're two very different kinds of korban. A bird has blood, a mincha has no blood, it's only flour. So therefore, you can say that you can't trade one for the other. But maybe we should be able to trade birds for korbanos. Both of them, after all, involve blood. So you could say, therefore, so maybe one kohen can say to the other, here, this person just brought an animal for a shlomim, and this other person just brought a bird for a chatas. So I don't want to bother taking a portion from both. You can have one of them, and I'll have the other. How do we know you can't do that? Talmud Lomar. Therefore, the pasuk continues and mentions about a mincha, that any mincha that's made in a shallow pan, then it goes to all the sons of Aaron. Meaning, in other words, that we know there's no reason to think. Regular Rashi explains it's one of those in things. Since you don't need it for the mincha, so instead we can apply it to trading korbanos, to trading animals for broods. Rashi Ksaviyad explains it a little differently. Look, we already know that a machvas is just like other menachas. So yeah, then we apply it to that. So therefore you can't trade zvachim for oifrasivas. Next, you would continue. Continues the Braisa. Yochol lo yachlifu oifus keneged zvachim. So you would think that fine. Maybe you can't trade birds for animal korbanos. And the logic would be because there is, after all, a difference between them. Shalolav asiyosin beyad v'alolav asiyosin b'kli. After all, a bird is killed using the hand, using malika, as we've learned earlier. As opposed to an animal korban extracted using a knife. So therefore, you could argue there's enough of a distinction between them that the Torah doesn't want you trading one for the other. But maybe at least you should be able to trade one kind of mincha for another. So one person brought a mincha solus and another one brought a mincha machvas, let's say. Then the kohenim can make a deal among themselves. You'll take the solus and I'll take the machvas or whatever. Because after all, both of them are done by hand. The kmitza by both of them is done with the kohen's hand. No, Talmud learned the mincha v'lo lavash shemen. Therefore, the pasuk continues and says, any mincha that's mixed with oil, and the pasuk finishes off for chol b'nei Aaron kia, that goes to all the sons of Aaron. So no, you can't trade one kind of mincha for another. Okay. Now you would think, fine, so that applies, let's say, different kinds of fried menachas, let's say. So you can't have that, you can't trade one for the other, and there's a logic behind it, shezu ma'aser koshin, vezu ma'aser rakin, because one of them is made stiffer and the other one is made softer, as we learned previously. A minchas, either according to Rashi, the verdict is that they're both made with the same consistency of dough, but the difference was that with the machmas, because it's shallower, most of the oil burns off, and therefore it becomes harder. Whereas with the machmas, the oil doesn't burn off, so it remains softer. Or according to the Rambam, the verdict is that to begin with, a minchas machmas would be made out of a stiffer dough with less water in it, so that it doesn't slide off the edges of the, so that it doesn't slide off the edges, because especially according to the Rambam, the thing that you bet machlas is more like a griddle, it has no edges, or at least very, very shallow edges, as opposed to a machesh, the dough can be made softer because it's in a deep pan and it's not falling out anyway. So you would say, fine, a machlas and machesh, one's soft, one's hard, then therefore you can say you can't trade one for the other. Maybe you have two different people came and brought a minchas machlas, or two people came and brought a minchas machlas. Maybe the kohenim could trade those one for the other. No, Talmud Loma, v'charei v'lechol bnei Aaron tia. The pasuk continues that any dry mincha has to go to all the sons of Aaron. Now again, it doesn't need to mention specifically a dry one. And therefore, so it means, in other words, so again, it's one of these in lozet. In lozet, it means that therefore, so we're learning that the same din applies. Now the Braisa then continues. Now maybe then we would say that they're not able to do any of these kinds of trades when it comes to kodshe kodshim, which includes menachas. Avo yachol to bekodshim kalim. Maybe the kohenim are entitled to make trades when it comes to kodshim kalim, such as a shlomim, because after all the pasuk, the context of the pasuk is talking about mincha, which is kodshe kodshim. No, Talmud Lema, therefore we have later in the parasha, therefore we have actually in the following pasuk, in the following psukim, say, Ish ka'ochiv the imal toida. The pasuk continues, the pasuk finishes off and says that all menachas have to go to all the sons of Aaron, Ish ka'ochiv, a man like his brother, and then right after that, the pasuk starts talking about a korban toida, the imal toida. So we learn from that. And a toda is kodshim kalim. Kishem shein chokim, kodshim kodshim, just as they're not allowed to trade kodshim kodshim, kachem chokim, kodshim kalim, so also they can't trade kodshim kalim either. Now, so that's according to Rashi then, the vort is that we're learning from the smichus, the fact that it says back to back, ish ka'ochiv, and then it continues, imal toda. Both Rashi and Rashi Ksaviyad both mentioned that. Tosfos actually had a problem with that because you were talking that the Gemara is going to, the Gemara explained, now this Gemara, this Braisa is also brought in Kiddushin because the Gemara has a long discussion over there in Kiddushin about whether the Korbanos are considered to be the property of the Kohenim, which is relevant as far as the question, can a Kohen be Makadish a woman with his portion of the Korban? If we say it belongs to him, he could. If not, then not. And therefore you have this whole business about not being able to trade it, which therefore has to do with the question of whether they own it. In any case, the Gemara explains here, this Braisa is according to Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda elsewhere in Shas explains that it holds that we don't doubt in smuchim, that just because one thing says next to another one in a pasuk outside of Chumash Devarim, he holds that you don't doubt in it. So Tosfos refers to what they explain in Kiddushin about it. And it's not really that, it's not really so much a smichos, but rather it's the fact that it says, viz zois teres nevach hashlomim, that involve moisif al inyan rishin, that it means that it ties them together. So it means what applied to the mincha also applies to the next korban that it's going to talk about. So not smichos, but rather the vav. Another point Tosfos makes in yet another place in Yevamos is that after all, it mentions the korbanos, mainly in Vayikra. Why is it mentioned in the Torah, first in Parshat Tzav? So therefore, it means that therefore, even Rabbi Yehuda would agree that that's a valid reason to doubt in Smuchim. Okay, in any case, so the Braisa is saying that, they can't trade Kodshim Kalim either. So therefore, we learn from that. Kishem Shein Chokim, Kodshim Kodshim, Kachem Chokim, Kodshim Kalim, just as they're not allowed to trade Kodshim Kodshim, such as a Mincha, so they're not allowed to trade Kodshim Kalim. Now, the Braisa continues, then the Braisa finishes off when the pasuk says ish ka'achiv. What do we learn from the word ish? Ish cholet, only an adult kohen who gets a portion of the korbanos. So whether he's the one who actually offered the korban or not, or he's just a member of that day's base of, then he's still entitled to a portion. The afilu bal mum. Now even if he's a bal mum, he gets a portion, as we learned in Zvachim, that even though he can't do the avodah, the Torah gives him special rights to eat from the kodshim, and we learned in Zvachim as well from Sukkim that he also has a right to a portion to his own portion of the korban. The ain't cotton chalik after the tam. However, cotton does not get a portion even if he's tam, even if he's not a bal mum, because it's only the adults who are capable of doing the avodah. Tosfos actually gets into a discussion over here. What do we mean by the word cholik over here? First, Tosfos says that means that they don't necessarily get equal portions. The word cholik means you get a portion, but not necessarily equal portions. Tosfos then refers to a Gemara, Mishnah, and Shabbos that says that the Kohenim would make a girdle about who's going to get what kodshim on Yom Tov, where there are a lot of kabbanos. So maybe they did that with Nedar Kishalim, and then Tosfos continues and discusses a few other meanings of chokin or ein chokin. It means chokin would mean that it can be considered his, as far as, for example, kiddushin. Ein chokin would mean that they could not. The chokin, and ein chokin over here means to trade one korban for another, but Tosfos says within one korban itself, they would be allowed to decide who gets what amount. In any case, now that we went through this whole braisa, so the point is, now let's go back. The Chizkiah had brought on the bottom of the previous Amud a limud from the pasuk v'chol mincha b'lo l'Hashem and v'chareva, and explained that from there we learn that a mincha brought from barley is also the shirayim or eaten by the kohenim. But now that we went through this whole brisa, we see that the pasuk v'chol mincha b'lo l'Hashem is being used for a different drasha to teach us that even though all menachas, the kmitza, is done by hand, nevertheless the kohenim can't trade one part with a part of, can't trade one for another as far as who's going to eat it. So how are we using the pasuk for Chizkiah's drasha? So the answer is Ahumi Kol Nafka. The answer is there's two different things. There's the fact that it says v'chol mincha. So we can learn from the fact that it says the vav, as well as we can learn from the fact that it says kol, and then we can also learn from the word mincha. When it says v'chol mincha, b'lul b'shemen, so it didn't have to say the word kol, and it didn't have to say the word mincha. So therefore we can learn both things. We can learn from the word kol, and we can learn from the it could have just said mincha b'lo l'vashem, and it didn't have to say the word mincha either. So therefore we can actually learn both dinim. But the Gemara says v'hapikti l'chidir of Yosi b'Yehuda. But don't we have, though, on the other hand, the word kol we're using for a different drasha that Rabbi Yosi b'Yehuda had said. In the Masechta, when we talked about that, we said a number of times, and we learned just before in the Gemara that Rabbi Shimon says that a baked mincha can be partly chalas and partly rikikin, but Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda brings up Jerusha and says that no, the whole, he says that it means the same way as the Torah is telling us that machvas and machesha are distinct, for example, the same way the Torah is telling us that within the baked mincha, the mafik tanner and the rikikin are two separate things. Because the pasuk says v'chol mincha ashatasa b'tanur, and we talk about that it means, in other words, that just like the two types of fried menachos are different, the same way the two types of baked menachos are different, and you can't mix and match. In any case, the point is that we're using it for that drasha. Now Tosfos asks, so what? I mean, we're dealing with over here according to Rav Shimon. We said at the beginning of the Gemara the whole question over here that we need a drasha for the fact that barley menachos are eaten by the shidaim or eaten by the kohenim. We said that's only according to Rav Shimon, and Rav Shimon Taka disagrees and says that mincha could be half chalas and half rikikin. But fine, Tosfos says the point is though that if we accept that Rabbi Yosi ben Yehuda agrees with this braisa, and after all Shitron Kobetzis points out we don't find anybody who disagrees with all the dinim we just said in this braisa, the question would really be on Rabbi Yosi ben Yehuda, if he's using that word b'chol for a different drasha, then how is he learning the din of our braisa? And the answer is Elahu mi b'chol. So rather, the answer is that we have the vav in the word zuchol. So therefore, so we're able to learn that as well. So we're able to learn from the vav of zuchol, and we're able to learn from the word kol as well. And therefore, we have both dinim that you can't trade menachas, and also Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda's din that you can't have a mincha that's half chalas and half rikikin. Fine. In any case, the point is that so we can still uphold Chizkiyah's Jerusha, that in fact we do have a way of learning according to Reb Shimon, who anyway disagrees with Reb Yosi Ben Yehuda, then we do have a way of learning, then we can use the din, we have the din that it says in this Braisa, they can't trade, but we can also learn the din that menachas made out of barley are also eaten by the Kohanim. Ravina Omar, Ravina has a different explanation, a different drasha for it. Ask him to Tony Levi. Instead, we can learn the fact that a barley mincha is eaten by the Kohanim, Shiraim, or eaten by the Kohanim. We can learn it from what Levi taught in a Braisa. To Tony Levi, Levi taught a Braisa when it says in Parashas Korach, after Korach's revolt and after all the aftermath of that, so afterwards Hashem speaks to Moshe and then speaks to Aaron and reiterates the 24 Matnas Kohuna. Rashi explains over there, it's almost like, you know, like there was an objection against the Kohuna, and therefore now Hashem reaffirms the Kohuna and reaffirms the presents that are being given to the Kohanim. So the Pasuk says, the Tony Levi, so Levi teaches in a Braisa, the Pasuk says that Hashem is giving you L'chol korbanam, from all of their korbanas, so l'chol min chosam, and all their menachas, so l'chol chatosam, and all their chatoris, so l'chol ashamam, and all their ashamas. So all of them, the Pasuk says, they're Kurdish kodoshim for you, Aaron, and your sons. So let's work through then what each of the words and phrases in the pasuk is teaching us, kol korbanam l'rabas loyg shem and shamatzara. The word kol korbanam comes to include the lug of oil that is brought by the Metzora, as we learned earlier in the Masechta. Metzora brings his korbanos when he's finished with his tzaras, along with he brings three animals, or if he's poor, he brings one animal and two birds, and he has to bring the sochin together with them, and in addition, he also has to bring a log of oil. We learned before what's done with the log of oil. Anyway, so after all the sprinklings and applications and all of the oil, after that, the rest of it is given to the Kohanim. So then we learn that from the word kol korbanam. So next, and why do we need a pasuk for it? Otherwise, we might have thought, Minha Ish Kasa Rahmana. After all, the pasuk is saying that Hashem is telling Aaron, I'm giving you from the Kodesh of Kedoshim, from the fire. So you would think it only applies to things that are actually, where part of them goes on the fire of the Mizbeah, then the Kohanim eat the rest. The loig of oil, nothing of it is burnt on the Mizbeah. So you wouldn't know. Kamash Balam, therefore, the pasuk needs to tell us that nevertheless the Kohanim are entitled to eat that loig of oil. The choice just brings up the question, then why does it have to say min ha'esh, and then have to have the word kol korbanam? Instead, just don't say min ha'esh in the first place, and you wouldn't need a ribo, yeah? Birkas HaZevach gives an answer for it. Next, so that's the word kol korbanam. Next, l'chol min chosam, when it says for all their menachas, l'rabas minchas oimer minchas knois. That comes to include the oimer and the mincha of the soita. So, here we have, says Ravina. Then here we have a source that the Kohanim eat the shirayim of barley menachas. And why do we need to know that? Sakhar adachamina. You would have thought otherwise, since the pasuk elsewhere says, v'ochlu oisim asher kupa bahem amarachmana. The Torah says that the Kohanim should eat the korban, and that way there will be a kapara for the person. As we learn, Kohanim oisim b'ayim mesafrim, that the Kohanim eat, and that way the owner accomplishes his complete kapara. V'hai lahatir kasya. Now the omer is not really meant, the omer is not really meant for kapara. It's coming to be matter that we should be able to eat chodosh, as we learned in the previous parak. The idach nami levara kasya. And the mincha sota is not really coming for a kapara either. It's coming to clarify the situation. Was she mizana or not? Is she going to be punished or not? So it's not really for a kapara. So therefore, you would think that those are not for kapara per se, and therefore maybe the Kohanim shouldn't be entitled to eat them. And therefore the Torah needs to tell us with the word l'chol min chosam that all menachas they eat, meaning even such menachas that are not coming for that purpose. Okay. The pasuk says l'chol chatosam l'rabas chatasoyf. The pasuk continues l'chol chatosam, that all of their chatoris the Kohanim eat. That comes to include the chatasoyf. Now, why do we need a posik for that? Sapler Hamina Nevela. Otherwise, you might have thought, after all, isn't it Nevela? The Kodi, you Malika on it. And as we've learned many times, Malika is not Shchita. In fact, we're learning a few months in Chulin Bez Hashem that Malika in many ways is the polar opposite of Shchita. And if you did that to any other bird, which is not a korban, it would become Nevela and it would be also to eat. So therefore, you would think the Kohenim should eat it. Kamashmalon, therefore, the Torah is telling us that you do eat it. And we learned earlier in the Masechta as well, that in fact, there's a pasuk in Yechezkel that says the Kohenim are not allowed to eat Nevela or Trefa. And that worried the Chachamim. What does that imply? The Kohenim can't, but everybody else can. And we had the famous Hanani ben Chizkiya ben Doron, who explained that, no, what it means is that the Yechezkel is just reiterating what it says in this pasuk over here, given that the Kohenim can eat a Chatas Oif. Maybe they could eat other kinds of Nevela, and therefore he stresses for you that, no, they can't. Okay, so that would be the chiddush of that part of the pasuk. Next, l'chol ha'shamam, when the pasuk says all of the ha'shamos, what's being included by that? L'rabas ha'sham nazir v'ha'sham metzora. That comes to include the osham brought by a nazir when he restarts his nazirus. So when he becomes Tomei, and he has to restart his Nezirus, he brings three Korbanos, and restarts his Nezirus, one of his three Korbanos is an Asham, and Asham Metzora, one of the Asham that a Metzora brings as part of his Tara. So the Pasuk is telling us that those are also all eaten by the Kohenim. So someone asked, what do we need a Pasuk in Parshas Korach for that? Asham Metzora, Behedik Sidney. It says clearly by the Asham Metzora in Parshas Metzora. Ki Kachatos HaOsham Hu LaKohen. Just like a Chatos, this Osham goes to the Kohen. So we see that the Kohen made it. So you're right, the Gemara says, fine. Ella, l'rabas Hashem Nazir ka Hashem Metzora. It means that the Pasuk is telling us to include the Osham of a Nazir, that the Kohen made it, just like the Osham of the Metzora, which it says clearly in the Pasuk. Now, why do you need a limud for that? Stop that a chamina. Otherwise, you might have thought, l'hachshir kasi. After all, the Osham, most Hashemas are coming for Kampara. So fine, then you have, as we said before, the Kohenim eats and the owners get their full kapara. But when it comes to the Osham of the Nazir, it's not really coming for kapara, it's coming to make him suitable that now he can start his Nazirus over again. So maybe the Kohenim don't get to eat from it, Hamash Malon, and therefore the Pasuk is telling us that nevertheless they do. So we need a limud from that. Now the pasuk continues in this list of things that the Kohenim are able to eat or enjoy. The pasuk says Asher Yashivu, that they return. So what do we learn from that? Says the Gemara, Zeg Gezel Ager. That refers to the case of Gezel Ager. The Gemara talks about in Bava Kama. We had like a couple of years back where person steals from a ger who has no yoshim. He swears falsely to him, whether it's steal, whether withholds money that he owes the ger, whether it's any kind of case. The cotton doesn't return to him, etc. Anyway, in a case of a regular Yisrael, if he did that, if he swore falsely on it, eventually when he's ready to do tshuva, he would pay back the person, plus he would pay back the person the keren, plus a choymesh, 25%, plus he would bring korban asham. In the case of a ger who has no yoshim, the Torah tells us instead that the Torah is telling us instead that the money, the keren l'chomesh, goes to the kohenim who are on duty, whose mishmar is that week in the Beis Mikdash. And then he brings the asham. So Asher Yashivu was a gezel ager, refers to the case of gezel ager that has to be given to the kohenim. Now regular Rashi points out that it says that already in Parshas Bamidbar, in Parshas Nosei rather. So not Rashi over here. Rashi elsewhere explained that even though each one was explained in Zvachim, Rashi explained that each one was explained in different places in Torah, including Gezel Ager, who was in Parshas Nosei, but nevertheless the Torah is giving them all in the Drosha over here, because this is all again after the whole affair of Korach. So Hashem wants to reiterate and stress and then recertify the specialty of the Kohenim and the 24 Matnas Kohuna that they get. Tosfos though over here asks on that, in that case, and why did the Gemara ask a minute ago, Asham Metzora, the head Yuxivu day? You would say, okay, it says it by the Asham Metzora that he eats it, but the Torah is reiterating it over here together with all the other Matnas Kohuna. So Tosafot says that not all of them are actually mentioned in their proper places. The fact is, if we didn't know, for example, the Gezel Ager, the pasuk says that Oshem Amushav Hashem LaKoyin means that the Gemara explains in Bava Kamma that it means the money is given to the Koyanim. But that's another way Tosafot explains. Once we have our drasha over here, then we know it means that Oshem Amushav Hashem LaKoyin means not just that the Koyin brings the Oshem and eats the Oshem like normal, but it means also the money. And the same thing with a lot of the other ones, we wouldn't know that the Kohenim eat it if it weren't for the Jerusha over here, and then it says it in different places. So that was why the Gemara was asking by the Asham Metzorah, since it says very clearly that the Kohenim are eating it, then why do we need it over here? And the Braisa finishes off, L'cho hiul v'necha, the Pasuk finishes off, that it is for you and that it is for you and for your sons. Hashem is speaking to Aaron, Kodesh Kodashim, Hul Vanecha. That means Shalchohi Ul Vanecha, means that the things that once the Kohenim receive them, then it's considered theirs. I feel the Kaddish for Isha, even as far as being Makadish a woman. Again, in Kedushin, you have a lot of discussion about whether the parts of Karbonus belong to the Kohenim, so it may mean only, Zerashi in that Gemara and Zvachim, in fact, explains that it means specifically the Gezel Ager. The other ones are not necessarily considered his mamon as far as being a Kaddish woman. Tosfos brings this point over here that also the other ones not necessarily can be a Kaddish woman with them because they're not necessarily his, but here we're talking about the Gezel Ager, which specifically is considered his money. Okay, in any case, the point is, Ravina is saying, given that in the middle of this braisa, we had l'chol minchasam, and it said, l'rabbis minchas ha'omer, minchas knois, then therefore we have a clear source that the minchas ha'omer and the minchas knois, even though they're made out of barley, nevertheless, the Kohenim eat the shirayim of it. Okay. Let's go on to the point that we said in our Mishnah that one of the menachos, one of the types of menachos that where koimetz is taken and the rest is eaten, is a mincha brought by goyim. So let's take up this point. First of all, let's start with a side point, not really a side point, but we're going to bring our Mishnah as a proof to the following discussion. If a goy makes a neder to bring a shlomim, then nevertheless we offer it as an oila. So we don't treat it like a shlomim and the owners and the owner himself being a goy wouldn't be able to, but we don't have that Yisraelim eat most of it and the Kohenim eat some of it. Instead, we just bring the whole thing as an oila. Why is that? Iboisem a svara. I can bring you a posit to that effect, or I can bring you a svara for that. The logic would be, when a goy volunteers to bring a korban, he doesn't know the dinim of korbanos. He has in mind that his korban should be completely offered to Hashem. Because as far as he knows, that's the definition of a korban. So that in fact takes over and makes it therefore that it's brought as an oila. The boy same akra, or you can say there's a posik, because the posik said, where do we learn the chalal that goyim can bring korbanos? Is because the posik says, any person that brings his korban, and the posik finishes off, Asher yakrivu l'Hashem la'oila, that they offer to Hashem as an oila, which we learn from that. Now, that from that word, ish is where we learn that both a Jew and a goy can offer korbanos, but we learn from that, since this is Asher yakrivu l'Hashem la'oila, called a makavi, oila lahavi, means anything they offer is going to become an oila, and completely burnt on the Mizbeach. There's an idea that various Achroidim talk about. The symbolism behind it is a goy has no concept that you're able to eat and serve Hashem that way, and therefore, as far as he's concerned, the only way to serve Hashem is by burning it in honor of Hashem. He doesn't have a concept of making a did of tachtonim and eating and doing other things in order to serve Hashem, and therefore the pasuk is ratifying that and saying that all he brings is an oila. However, the Gemara says, Mosiv Rav Chama bar Gruya, but Rav Chama bar Gruya has a contradiction on that. We learn in a braisa, Ovid Gechavim Sheis Nadav Lahavi Shlomim, if a goy volunteers to bring a shlomim, nothing to Yisrael, if now he gives the meat of the korban to a yid to eat, now he himself, of course, can't eat it, but if he gives it to Yisrael oichlan, then the Yisrael will eat it. Nothing to Koyan, a Koyan oichlan. And if a goy gives it to a Koyan, then the Koyan will eat it. So we see a goy can, in fact, bring shlomim. Rashi Ksavyad points out as a practical matter the goy can't eat from the korbanos because it's an oral, and an oral is not allowed to eat korbanos. So what is it? We see in this Friday that he could bring shlomi. The answer is Amar Rava Hachikama Amanaschi Skapa Behen Yisrael. It means that if the goy volunteers the korban, having in mind that Yisrael will have his kapara with it, so not kapara by a korban by a shlomim, it's not really kapara per se. But in other words, what we mean is to be yotze. So in other words, let's say so a yid was chayev and a shlomim, and the goy says, you know what, I'll Reb Yid, I'll give you the animal and you'll be marked with it as a shlomim. So it could also be, for that matter, as Mephoshim pointed out, it could also be actually that even if the yid wasn't chayev, the goy can go to him and say Yankel, you can have this animal and you can bring it as a shlomim and you can bring it as a shlomim. So in that case, then Yisrael can eat it. So then Yisrael Oichlan, then Yisrael would eat it, the parts that are the shlomim that Yisrael eats, like any other shlomim, nosim l'koyin. If he gives them to a koyin Oichlan, then the koyin would eat them. So only in that case, where the goy volunteered the korban but isn't actually bringing it himself, he's giving it to a yid, a Yisrael or a koyin, respectively, to eat. By the way, Tosfos brings up the point that in any case, why do we need from the word ish to tell us that a goy can bring a korban? The pasuk tells us that you're not allowed to bring a korban with a mum that was offered by a goy, implying that if it didn't have a mum, then a goy could offer it. So Tosfos says that there the pasuk says ben necher, and ben necher could mean yisurah mumer, could mean a yid who shmabs a chachman al-aslan and is worshipping Abed Azara or whatever. So therefore, we need another pasuk to tell us that an actual full-fledged goy is able to bring a korban. And then Tosfos goes on with various other answers why we need to be told that a goy is able to offer a korban. In any case, now we're saying, in order that the Braisa shouldn't contradict Rav Huna, we mean where the goy is offering the korban to a yisurah to bring on his own behalf. So then, in that case, then it's eaten. But if a goy himself brings it, then we have Rav Huna's din, that it becomes an oila. Well, mostly Rav Shizbi. Rav Shizbi says, I have a contradiction from our Mishnah. Elo menachos nikmatzis, where we said that the following menachos a knutze is taken, a shirem lakoyinim, and the leftovers are eaten by the koyinim, and one of them we had in the Mishnah is minchas oiv de kachavim, a mincha brought by goyim. So you see that there's at least one kind of korban that a goy can bring and is eaten. Once we see that by a mincha, why shouldn't we say it's the same thing by other korbanos as well? So what's the question? You take a koymitz. We established before whenever you take a koymitz, you eat it. And a shlomim. Where's a shlomim? Of course, there's no koymitz. So he says that because Rav Huna had said the expression liber l'shamayim, that his svara was that the goy has in mind any korban is going to be offered completely to Hashem, so then in that case, why would a mincha be eaten? So the answer is Amar Rav Yechon, like Kasha. The answer is that there's no contradiction because there are in fact two different opinions. Our Mishnah would be like Rav Yisrael Gvili, and Rav Huna's din is pointed out Akiva. Namely, the Tanya, we learn in a Braisa. Again, when the Pasuk says ish, ma tamad lama ish, the Pasuk says ish, that any person who wants to bring a korban, it could have said only ish, and instead it says ish, what do we learn from that? The Rabbi says, so if you tell him, she knows you nidavim and dravis ki Yisrael, from there we learn that a goy is able to offer voluntary korbanos just like Yisrael, the Dorim where he says, Harei Alai, I obligate myself to bring the korban, the Dovis where he says, Harei Zu, this animal will be a korban. Either way, he's able to do that. And the pasuk continues, when it says, Ashe Yakrivu L'Hashem La'Ola, that they will offer to Hashem as an Ola. However, the Braisa says, you would think that means that they can only offer an oila, shlomim inayim. How do we know that goy could offer a shlomim? The answer is, tamad lemon nidjurehem. Therefore, the pasuk says nidjurehem, they're korbanos that they bring by a neder, and that includes a shlomim as well, because a shlomim is one of those types of korbanos that you can bring with a neder. Next, toida minayim. How do we know that a goy can also bring a korban toida? So the Braisa says, Tamalama Nidvoisam. Therefore it says also Nidvoisam, the korbanos that they do bin Adava. So once we have Nidureha means a shlomim, then Nidvoisam means a toida. So in fact, actually, you know, when we talk about who brings a korban toida, we say, you know, the four people, with four types of people who are in danger, where nowadays, Yevench Goymol, in the time of the Nesimetesh, they bring a korban toida, is that an absolute obligation on them, or is it really only a voluntary thing? Later on, in the next parak, we're going to learn, the Shittim Kubetzis learns that actually, that's not really an absolute requirement, it's more of a voluntary thing. So therefore, we're according to that, then it makes sense that the word nidvoisam would mean a toida. Rashi actually learns there and says that no, a person who was in this situation is obligated to bring a Torah, so fine, you'd have to understand, according to him, how the word nidvoisam means a Torah. In a case of Braise, they're saying that's what it means. Minayim l'rabas oifus, how do we buy yayin? How do we know that a goy can also bring a brood korban or wine to be poured on the Mizbeach? Obviously, it can't mean that he himself brings the wine. He makes a yayin nesach, but it means, in other words, that he brings money and wine will be bought and poured on the mizbeach. So how do we know the halavoyna? And he can also bring levoyna as a korban by itself. So wood, which is all, which is considered to some extent a korban all by itself. We learned actually in the Masechta earlier whether it is or not. Rebbe had said it's considered a full-fledged korban. The Chum that disagreed. In any case, so how do we know that they can also bring that? Kabbalah nidrehem l'chol nidrehem nidvoisem l'chol nidvoisem. The possible difference is saying nidrehem. It says l'chol nidrehem, all their nidarim. It doesn't say nidvoisem, it says l'chol nidvoisem. So therefore, so it means that the word l'chol, for each one of them, comes to include that they can bring all these things. Then the Brisa says in Kain Matamad Loima Ola, well then why does the Pasuk say Ashe Yakrivu Lashem La'ola, which makes it sound as though they can only bring an Ola? So prapa ola prapa nezirus, that comes to exclude that ola. So the answer is ola prapa nezirus. The word ola comes to exclude that they can't bring an ola of a nazir, because a goy is not able to become a nazir. Regular Rashi explains that the vote is that, in other words, because if he makes a neder of Nezirus is not chal on him, because that includes an oila chatas and shlomim, and the pasuk is implying that he can only bring, that it, so the pasuk makes it sound as though he can bring only an oila, to imply, in other words, where there's other korbanos involved, such as a chatas or a shlomim, then he can't. Rashi Ksavyad says a little differently, that v'chal, Nezirus is not chal on him in the first place, therefore he can't bring the korban. Anyway, so therefore, that's why the pasuk has oila. Divrei Rabbi Yosi Haglili, this is how Rabbi Yosi Haglili learns that, therefore, that a goy is able to bring many different kinds of korbanos. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Rabbi Akiva says, no, Asher Yakrivu Lashem La'ola, Ein Li Ela Oila Bovan. No, says Rabbi Akiva, no, when it says Asher Yakrivu Lashem La'ola, it means only an oila, it means, in other words, L'chol Nidreyim or L'chol Nidvoisam, just means that he can bring an oila, which can be brought by Nedu and Adava, but not that he can be, that, but not that he can be bringing any of the other types of korbanos. Chazanish explains that Rabbi Akiva will Chazon Nochum actually explains that that Rabbi Akiva will say that from the word kol, we learn that he can also bring a brood oiler if he wants, so not just an animal oiler but a brood oiler, but not the other kinds of korbanos. So when our Mishnah says that a goy can bring a mincha, that would be according to Rabbi Yosi Haglili. When Rav Huna is saying that if a goy brings any kind of korban, it becomes an oila, that would be according to Rabbi Akiva. Okay, I'm going to ask, v'hai prap nezirus mehocha nafka. Are you telling me, according to Rabbi Yosi Haglili, the fact that a goy cannot bring a korban of nezirus, it can't become a nazir in the first place, we learn it from here, mehocha nafka. We have a different source for that. The pasuk says, when it introduces nezirus in parashas Nasa, dabar b'nei Yisrael v'amata alem, ish ki yachli lindo neder nazir v'hazir, the pasuk says, speak to b'nei Yisrael and tell them when a person expresses a neder of a nazir, lahazir, to make to separate himself. So we learn from that the fact that it says Bnei Yisrael nodrin, vein ovid chum nodrin. Only Jews can make a neder of nazirus. Goyim cannot. So, in other words, that other than that, a goy can make a neder. So therefore, we need to be told that. That nevertheless, he can't make a neder of nazirus. There was an interesting point, actually, B'chlal, when this whole thing that we're talking about a goy making a neder or a nedava to bring nezirus, so he has to fulfill it. Actually, Rabbi Akiva Eger wonders, in a different Gemara where Tosfos talks about that a goy has to fulfill his neder. So Rabbi Akiva Eger there wonders, where do we have a source, particularly, that a goy has to keep his neder? And then various achronim talk about one thing is you have a concept called amirosa legavoya, kinsirosa lehedya. When you say that you're going to give something to Hashem, it's the equivalent of giving it over to a regular person, meaning that the kinyan is chal. So fine, maybe he doesn't have to keep his neder per se, but still he made a kinyan and therefore he has to fulfill it. Another point is we see that that Yaakov Avinu made sure to keep his neder, and before Matan Torah they were all considered b'nei noyach, and there are a number of different points that Achronim bring up of why Goyim should have to keep their neder. Relevant in this connection also is actually speaking of Yaakov Avinu, when Yaakov confronts Lavan after he gave him Leah instead of Rachel, and he tells him, why'd you trick me? There's a sticha where they never talks about what you mean, why'd you trick me? Lavan could have answered. There's nothing in Shev Mitzvah Neneach that says I'm not allowed to trick you. And the answer is, even without Shev Mitzvah Neneach, but still, so it was something that all the nations had accepted on themselves at that time, that they're going to be honest, and they're not going to violate their word, and therefore the Gemara can take it as a given that the Goy has to keep his promise. Okay, in any case, the point is that we're saying that a Goy, though, cannot become a Nazir. So we learn from that. So why does Rabbi Yitzchak really have to learn from the word La'olah? So the answer is Ime Hosim. If we only had that drasha from Bnei Yisrael, have I been a korban who do lalaisi? You would say, fine, he doesn't bring the korban of Nazirus. Abel Nazirus chala alayu, but maybe the actual Nazirus itself is chal on a goy. Kamashmo, and therefore we need the word Bnei Yisrael to say that it's not chal on him at all. And in fact, Tosfos elsewhere in Nazir explains that in fact we do learn from the word La'ola, even if he were to say, you know what, you, Mr. Yid, I know that you're a Nazir, I'll bring your korbanos for you, we still wouldn't accept it. So fine, so another way of explaining it, the Keren Ora explains that the point is, if we only have the direction from Bnei Yisrael, it would mean that maybe just the opposite. Maybe it means they don't bring the korban, but they can be a Nazir itself. Once we have the word La'ola, then it's Megala on the word Bnei Yisrael, that means they can't even become a Nazir at all. In any case, so we have a machlokas tanoyim where the goyim are able to bring other korbanos. Everybody agrees they can't be a Nazir, and they can't bring korbanos of Nazirus. Well, the Gemara points out, Kaman Ozla Hadetnan, which of these two opinions does it follow? This that we learn in the Mishnah, we've learned this earlier in the Masechta as well. Omer Rav Shimon, Shivat Dvarim Skinu Beistin. Beistin made seven takonos, Vizeh Echad Mehen, and one of them is the following. And one of them is the following. The first one, the Mishnah had the Mishnah had talked over there about certain dinim, about when you find an animal for a korban, when you find an animal which might have been a korban, then the sibur will bring them a sochim for it, because otherwise the person is likely to say, I don't want to bother. So that was one of them. And then the Mishnah goes on to list, Rav Shimon goes on to list several more takonis, and one of them is, if a goy sends an oila from a distant country, so he sends along an animal, like that story with the emperor and Gittin, and then the story of Kamsa Bakamsa, but any other case like that where a goy sends an animal, the shilach ima nesachecha, if he sends with it nesachim, so not the actual nesachim themselves, they become tame, but we mean, in other words, money for the nesachim. The animals, no problem. Live animals are not makabel tumah, but the nesachim could be makabel tumah, so we mean he sent along the money for them. So then, he says, craven mishaloi, then fine, they use that money and they buy the nesachim and they offer them. Vim lav, craven mishal tzibur, if not, then the tzibur from the Trumas HaLishka, from the Shemach Tzeshekel, supplies the money for those Nesachim. Shutim Kubetis points out, you can't very well force the goy to bring the Nesachim. The whole concept of Kosh Nosan, Shayom Rotsani, applies only to a Yisrael. Tiferes Yisrael points out on the Mishnayot, a practical matter, if the guy lives overseas, you're not really going to be able to force him either. So the Tzibur will bring the Nesachim. Now, Lema Rav Yosef Lili v'loy Rav Akiva. Should we say that this Mishnah is only appointed Rav Yosef Lili and not Rav Akiva? Because appointed Rav Akiva, the appointed Rav Akiva was saying the only thing a goy can bring is an ula, implying not the Nesachim. Now, since Rav Shimon is saying this, and Rav Shimon was a Talmud of Rav Akiva, we would assume that he's following Rav Akiva's opinion. So the answer is no, Akiva came to Rav Akiva. You could even say that this Mishnah is according to Rav Akiva, because when he says Oila, he means Oila v'chol chavrta. He means the Oila and everything that goes along with it. Then it's Sochim, go along with the Oila. So therefore, it means that he can bring not only an Oila, but also the Nesachim that go together with it. The Gemara says, though, man tana lahod tana nabanan, what about which tana is the author of the following braisa? When it says by Nesachim, the pasuk says Ezrach. The pasuk says any Ezrach, which means any native-born Yid, brings Nesachim. And then the pasuk goes on to say that it means that a ger as well. So that's the Gemara is going to say. So Ezrach means that Ezrach may be Nesachim, only a Yid. So for it means a born, Ezrach means a born Yid, but fine, the pasuk goes on to say the same rule applies to a ger. But Ezrach may be Nesachim, may not be Nesachim. A goy does not bring Nesachim. Yochol loy tehe a lost etron Nesachim, but you would think that an oila that a goy brings does not require Nesachim at all. Tamad loyma kocha. No, the pasuk says kocha, which means it has to be like this. The word kocha is la'akiv. So on the face of it, loy rabbi yisaglili, loy rabbi akiva. This brayse doesn't seem to be according to rabbi yisaglili or according to rabbi akiva. Either rabbi yisaglili ha'omar afilu yayin nami. After all, rabbi yisaglili before him said that a goy could even offer wine by itself as a korban. And that means, in other words, that we're not even talking about. Tosfos points out we don't even mean wine for nesachim. We mean it can even bring wine all by itself. So how much more so we could bring nesachim? And why shouldn't he? So why are we saying his oila requires nesachim, but he can't bring it? Why not? According to Rabbi Yisrael, he should be able to. Either Rabbi Akiva, and if this braisa was according to Rabbi Akiva, ha'omar oila ein achrin aloy, midi achrin aloy. Didn't he say only an oila, not something else? Which the Gemara is saying, the Gemara is not using right now the answer that we said that Rabbi Akiva meant an oila and everything that goes with it. The Gemara is assuming that Rabbi Akiva said an oila, meaning an oila exclusively. So the Gemara answers, you could say that the Braise is like Rabbi Yisrael Lili, but you can actually say it goes according to Rabbi Akiva as well. You could say it's according to Rabbi Yisrael Lili. When we have the earlier Braise listing all the things that a goy can bring, according to him, you have to delete wine from him. So in fact, you would say that a goy can bring an ola or shlomim or birds or lavoina, but not wine. Or you could say that the braisa is according to this last braisa is according to Rabbi Akiva, because again, oila b'chol chaverta, the word oila doesn't just mean the oila by itself, it means everything that goes with the oila, which includes also the nesachim that go with it. According to Rabbi Akiva, the goy can also send along money for those nesachim, and if he does, then good, and if not, then as Rabbi Shimon said, then it's a tekona based in that they'll provide it mishol tzibur from the matzah shekel collections. Okay, the bottom line is, in other words, when our Mishnah and previous Mishnayos and on the Sefer talk about a goy bringing a mincha, this is only according to Rabbi Yisrael Lili, whereas Rabbi Akiva would hold that it's not so, a goy cannot bring any other korban other than an ola. We totally talked about this at the end of Zvochim as well. We had a whole machlokas where the goy can bring shlomim. In that case, the halacha is in fact that a goy can bring only an ola, no other korban. Any korban that he says he's going to bring is going to be used for an ola.